What an honor it is to be with you this morning. I'm Pastor Jim, and I'm so thankful that God has allowed me to be one of your pastors. Appreciate you being here, and I'm just looking forward to more of Him. Even now, let's pray. Father, thank you. As we study the Beatitudes, there are principles that we can apply to our life this week that matter. And Lord, I pray that you would show us in your word truth that we can apply to our lives. Bless those sweet kids back there at Kids Church. Bless those who are watching the little kids in the nursery. And we thank you for the privilege to be here. In your name we pray. So a little while back, I went bowling. And it was... I'm left-handed, and I think all the bowling balls are drilled out for right-handers. And when you try to find a bowling ball that fits these hands, so I just feel like a lot of things are against me. So we were bowling, and the ball didn't fit right. And so every time I would try to roll the ball, I would throw the ball, and it would yank my hand. No big deal. Until in the middle of the night, I wake up and my finger is super swollen. Okay, I'll Google how to get a ring off. No problem. Didn't work. And I thought, okay, now my finger hurts worse than it did. And Sharon wanted to go to the ER, and I'm like, we're not spending money. I can do this. So I got a little pair of snips, tried to cut it off. Couldn't do it. Got bigger snips. They wouldn't fit under the ring. Now my finger is just a little bit purple, and so there's a bit of an issue. Well, I have these medium-sized cutters, but I didn't have the leverage. And so Sharon and I are in the garage, and I decided we just got to cut it off. Not my finger. I'm hoping the ring. So we jam these cutters in between my finger and the ring, and I said, all right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to hold the ends of these cutters, and we're going to put it in the vise. And we're going to tighten the vise, and I'm going to hold it, and then something is going to happen. Now, just so we're clear, at that moment, we didn't look in each other's eyes and reaffirm our marriage. Even though, right, you know, as a pastor, this ring is eternally round, your marriage will not be broken. We didn't say, okay, we're severing the ring. I'm sorry. It was more like, you know, hopefully it's not till death do us part, and I can cut the ring off and not my finger. So we put the cutters in the vise, and I closed my eyes. And she's tightening it, and I could feel the pressure on it, and all of a sudden, pop! My finger was still there. Took a pair of a screwdriver, pried it in there, and do you know how much they charge you to make a ring like it used to be? It's ridiculous. But I thought about this little life lesson, and I think about what we're going to talk about today, and relationships and things in life can be going really well. Whether it's at home, whether it's at work, on the ball field. And then kind of like in a moment's notice, there's a couple of yanks here and there, and everything changes. Have you ever been on a ball field or somewhere and all of a sudden tempers go crazy? Have you been driving? I was driving with my brother this week, and he's from Colorado, and he said, I can't believe I've been living here a month and nobody has shown somebody the universal sign of disapproval. And he said, people are so nice here. And then as we were driving, somebody cut somebody off and he goes, oh, there they did it. I'm like, I mean, have you ever seen things really good and then things go crazy? Absolutely. That's why I love the Beatitudes. Jesus understands. He spoke about this. This is week 7. Next week, we end the Beatitudes, and then we're going to start a really cool Bible study through the book of Jonah. But for the next 2 weeks, we're going to stay in the Beatitudes, and this is what Jesus says. Happy are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Now, he didn't say, happy are peace lovers. Who doesn't want peace? You want peace at home. You want peace at school. You want peace on the ball field. You want peace. I mean, he doesn't say, happy are those who love peace. He didn't say, happy are the peaceable. Have you ever met that person that just nothing shakes them? Like, why aren't you mad? Oh, I'm just having, you know, it's okay. I'm mad that you're not mad. I mean, and it's not talking about happier those who never get flustered by anything. Happy are those who make peace, who actively seek to resolve conflict. And conflict is one of those things in life that it is unavoidable. To be a mature Christ follower, it means that you try to make peace. That means that you're not avoiding problems. It's just so much easier to go, it's not bad. And then things build up. And then it goes, wow. We can't pretend that problems don't exist. That's somewhat cowardly. And the truth is, how many of us like conflict? So we postpone it. We put it off. But sometimes it does something inside of us. And happier the peacemakers doesn't mean that you're the person who appeases everybody. Jesus never called you to be a doormat. And matter of fact, there are several times where in the scriptures, Jesus got really angry. And Jesus could be controversial at times because he stood his ground on principles that matter to the kingdom of God. Say, all right, Jim, what are you getting at? Why is peacemaking so important? Because unresolved conflict kills relationships. It also can hinder your relationship with God, actually to the point the scriptures say that your prayers are not answered. So let's talk about that a little bit today, and I'm going to give you in a few minutes a couple of principles that you can actually apply to your life to become a peacemaker. 1 John says this, if anyone says, I am living in the light, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves other Christians is living in the light and does not cause them to stumble. Anyone who hates a Christian brother or sister is living and walking in darkness. Such a person is lost, having been blinded by the darkness. In other words, when you're out of sorts with other people, horizontally, it affects things vertically. And so that matters. This is a verse that talks about those who are married, specifically to husbands. You husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but is an equal partner in God's gift of new life. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. That's a crazy verse for guys. Why do you want to be a peacemaker? Because if you're not doing the things you ought to do, that God's not going to listen to your prayers. Then we'll get any further than the ceiling. You're like, well, why isn't God talking to me? Well, God wants to talk to you. That was his plan when he created us. But because of your actions, he's not talking to you. And it's amazing how over the years that I've been a pastor, how I've seen church people treat church people. And you think, what is that about? And then we forget that Jesus taught us, blessed are those who actively pursue making peace because it matters in your own life with God and it matters to people actually who look at Christians and say Christians are the only ones who like kick their dead. When I'm in conflict with others, and we'll talk about this in a couple seconds here, but when I'm in conflict with others, it makes me miserable. When you're in conflict with others, it bothers you and it hinders your relationship. How do we pursue peace? Matthew 5 says this, if you remember your brother has something against you, go at once and make peace. It doesn't matter if you are the offender or the offended. You're the one who can go and make peace. It's always your move. Why? Because Jesus said to. If you know that somebody has something against you, then go to them. You must be intentional, and the longer you wait, the harder it gets. Have you ever really been offended by somebody? About 6 years ago, no one who goes to our church, but somebody just radically offended me. And it was absolutely wrong. And so, you know, I just dealt with it and went on. For the last several years, it has bothered me. It just really bothered me. So about 3 years ago, I began to pray. God, I'd like to run into this person so I can apologize. So I can apologize, not for what they did, but my attitude towards them. I mean, I held a grudge for years. And I haven't seen this person for 6 years, and I prayed, God, would you put them back into my life so I could somehow apologize for holding a grudge against them. A couple of weeks ago, I was going to get gas at a gas station, and there's lots of pumps. I pulled into the pump, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me. And he said, don't get gas here. Go to the far side. And I'm thinking, well, number one, God doesn't speak to me that much. I mean, I don't know if he talks to you all the time, but I'm like, okay, I really, this is awkward, but I'm listening. Pull around, and right there was the person I hadn't seen for 6 years, but I've been praying for 3 years that they would come across my path. I said a little prayer. I'm like, oh, God, thank you. Wow, this is that moment. It's my chance to do what I can do to make it right. So that's what I did. I needed to get out of the car and say I was sorry and take responsibility for my attitude. Hey, good to see you. Wanted to say sorry. I kind of a few years ago held a grudge. All my fault. I'm sorry. Then inside, I mean, it was like, oh, what a relief. It was kind of like I'm smiling. I didn't know if it'd like be a Hallmark moment. You know, like we would both embrace and it was all good. Well, that didn't happen. It didn't happen at all. This person walked up to me, jammed their finger in my face, and started screaming at me things that were way worse than the time I was offended. And then they got in their car and drove away. And I was like, okay, God, I've prayed for 3 years. And wow, that was a special moment. I didn't anticipate that at all. And then I literally said, okay, God, now what? And I feel like the Lord spoke to me and he said, you need to forgive immediately. And then you're no longer going to carry a grudge. And then the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, and by the way, Jim, this is somehow times that this is how you treat me. And it was like one of those moments where I was like, whoa. Okay. And why do I tell you this? I tell you this because there are times when you want to try to do the right thing. I needed my conscience clean because of the attitude I had. And there are times when you're going to try to do the right thing and it's not going to go as scripted. Like you're going to try to make peace and things are still going to be in pieces. Now, I don't feel the burden anymore to go and apologize a second time. But it was good for me to be reminded, Jim, forgive immediately. Because this person probably never even knew I held a grudge. It didn't affect them one moment, but it affected me. And then to be reminded that God will never ask you to forgive anybody of anything more than he's already forgiven you. That was a little bit humbling, but it's absolutely true. So I did the best I could, but it didn't work out. And Paul talks about this in Romans. He says, do everything possible on your part to live at peace with all men. I can control my actions, or at least I would like to be able to control my actions. I can't control how somebody else reacts to my actions. Have you ever been in conflict? Of course you have. It's hard. It's hard to be in conflict when you perceive yourself to be right. It's hard to be in conflict when you say sorry and somebody doesn't even care. But this is the responsibility that you have if you want to call yourself somebody who is maturing in Christ, to be the one who goes first and says sorry. It's another verse that's good to remember. A gentle answer quiets anger, but a harsh one stirs it up. You know, I wish I could say that as I was being talked to, you know, I just put my hands in a worship position. Oh, Jesus, thank you. I prayed for 3 years. I even thanked you for this conversation. And it's not going the way I want it to. And I praise you. That wasn't happening inside of me. What was happening inside of me was a volcano ready to explode. But by God's grace, I only said one thing. And I said, you know, you can kind of be a jerk. Immediately, the Lord, I felt like he lashed at me and said, Jim, how dare you? And I didn't speak one other word. But this is real life. If you want to have a real faith, you got to live faith in real life. And real life doesn't always go like you want it to. Thank God I didn't do what I wanted to. Right? I mean, we don't have a prison ministry, but we could have one. And have you ever been in that spot where you're just like, I'm fed up beyond fed up? And that's why Jesus gives us principles. Blessed are, happy are those who try to resolve conflict. And truthfully, I had to let that go. And you do as well. And a gentle answer matters. How often engage our mouth before we engage our brain?
Never.
At the end of the service, we'll have an altar call for that one elder who lies. But you see, I'm dealing with him immediately. We're not going to let a grudge build up. No, I love Wes so much. I love their whole family. Lisa sent me a really funny text yesterday. She said, I think this is your love language. And it was all about tacos. You know, you can get your point across by not being mean. You can get your point across. He who shouts the loudest loses the battle. You can get your point across by being nice. It's true, a gentle answer turns away wrath. God, help us to be those who build bridges and not those who tear bridges down. A lot of times, there are legitimate, honest disagreements between people. Jesus said, "Blessed are you who pursue peace." That means at times you're going to have to disagree agreeably. That means times that you're going to be able to walk hand in hand and you don't see eye to eye. That means there are times where you're going to need to have forgiveness and there's no reconciliation. And don't confuse something here that we forgive not for somebody else's benefit, but for ours. You can forgive somebody who has damaged you and hurt you, even if they will never say sorry. Reconciliation is when somebody comes back and says, "I'm sorry," and you try to make it right going forward. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is only in the hands of the person who's been offended. So you can actually forgive somebody who's dirty, rotten, and now they're in the grave because you choose to. It's not that you accept what they've done. It's not that you think what they've done is right. It's that you say, "I choose to forgive for my own good." Remember Peter asking Jesus, "How many times should I forgive? Seven?" And we could talk a long time about that and how significant that was. And Jesus said, "No, not seven, 70 times seven." And why did he tell him that? Because forgiveness always helps the person who's held the grudge. There are things that people have done that are absolutely wrong. And what I'm talking about today, this thing that happened 3 weeks ago in my life, is nothing compared to things that really happen in life. But if you don't forgive, it hurts you. And Jesus is talking about being a peacemaker, if you can make peace. But sometimes you can't. Doesn't mean a relationship's restored. It means that you have forgiven for your own good. God sent Jesus down to bring peace with God. God really is the person, the one who began. This is how you can find peace with God. I'm going to sacrifice my son. There's always a cost. If you really want to try to make peace with people in your life, there's a cost to it. There's a cost with you having to be the one who steps up and does it first. There's a cost to it because somebody may not respond the way you would like them to respond. And instead of a Hallmark moment, it's a horrible moment. Jesus modeled what it looks like to be a peacemaker. When he was hanging on the cross, and he prays that final prayer, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Well, they knew what they were doing to the point of the fact that they nailed him to the cross. But they did not understand the magnitude of hanging the Son of God on a cross. But that was done to model for you and me what it looks like to be a peacemaker. And I'm so, oh my goodness, I'm thankful. Jesus died for me. And he died for you. Every time you sin against Almighty God, Jesus died for you. Man, that's a big deal. He's the ultimate peacemaker. If you want peace at home, you want peace in your marriage, then you need to pursue that. You need to focus on the problems, not the people. you know, maybe your kid does have a legitimate gripe. They're all asleep, so it doesn't matter. I'm kidding. You know, and maybe your parents do know what they're talking about. And one of the true tests of how mature you are in your faith is when things heat up in relationships. Then the faith or the fangs come out. One of the most difficult words in the English language is sorry. All of the couples that I've married, I beat into the guys the five most important words in a man's life. I'm sorry, I was wrong. And the guys in here who I've married, they said it before I could even say it, because I told them, I'm going to ask you that on your wedding day, and if you can't repeat that after me, I'm not going to marry you. So they know, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I'm sorry, I was wrong. When you work at restoring relationships, you're actually doing what God has done. You're becoming more like Christ than you think you are. And it's huge. When you take that initiative to restore relationships, and it seems like in this day and age, there's more rage than I've ever seen. It seems like there's more lashing out than I've ever seen. And I'm not, oh, woe is us. I'm just thinking, what a great example for somebody to reflect Jesus Christ and say, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not going to be that person. And many times at an airport when flights get messed up or that, the person in front of me is so angry. Like the person who's doing the ticketing was the one who caused the plane to sit on the tarmac for 3 hours. Every time, I just say, I'm so sorry. You're doing a great job. And it means the world to them. And I've had multiple times they say, here's what you can get. And I'm like, ooh. I'm not talking loud. I don't want them to know. Ooh, me either. I won't tell. And then I'm out eating some nice food or staying at a restaurant, and that person's sleeping in the airport. More than that, let me just ask you a question. Where is there disunity? Where is there lack of harmony in your life right now? What is God asking you to do? That's the question that we'll end with today. What is God asking you to do? Yeah, but I get it. I get it. They did. It wasn't me. I get it. You don't have control over what they did, but you do have control over what you're going to do. And was it humbling for me to pray for 3 years to have a conversation and have it go like it went? Yeah. Was it good for me? It really was. It reminded me how much I've been forgiven. It reminded me that I offend God more than I want to. It reminded me when you let go of something quickly, it doesn't attach itself to you and drag you down for years and years and years and years to go. And how many of us carry baggage because they never said they were sorry. They never acknowledged what they did wrong. They. Today is not about they. It's about you. It's about a Savior who loves you and can actually bring healing into your life, just like has happened to me in the last 3 weeks. I may never see this person again, but honestly, if I do, with a pure heart, I can say it's good to see you. Who can be a peacemaker? Anybody who's willing to swallow their pride, follow Christ in this manner, and do what you can do, and then leave the results up to God. Happy are the peacemakers, for they're called sons of God. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that this message means a lot to me because of some stuff that I just went through. And I've already talked to you about it, and thank you that you forever forgive me. I didn't handle this as good as I could. And Lord, maybe there's somebody else here today who says, there's a conflict, there's a thing. I need to let this go. I need to pursue this first. I need to. God, I want to pray. And Lord, would you just put it on their heart? Somebody here, somebody hope at home, they're holding stuff they ought not to. And you want to help them today to take that first step. Maybe it's forgiveness, maybe it's a conversation. I don't know, but Lord, you know, and I just want to be able to pray. If you would say, hey, Pastor Jim, I'm hearing what you're saying, and there's something that I want to work on, I want to ask for God's help. Would you look up at me? Okay. Man, I love y'all. I don't judge you. I hope you don't judge me today. I didn't do everything right like I could have or should have. Okay. I love you all a lot. Thanks for being honest. Now let's go to the God who not only cares, but the God who can help us. Father, thank you that your love is everlasting, your grace is more than sufficient, and you literally can help us. If we could have helped ourselves, we would have already done it. So God, I pray, I think the first thing is that we realize that we're sinners and we need to be forgiven. And when we really feel like we're forgiven, it's easier for us to be forgiving. So God, forgive us our sins, cleanse us of unrighteousness, and then give us the strength to take the step to do whatever we need to do so that we may have peace in our hearts, so that our prayers may not be hindered, so that we may have right relationship with you. And Lord, help us to do our best, the power that's within us to try to make things right. And then Lord, help us to lay it down and to leave it there and to give it to you. I pray for each one who's really looking up to you today, Lord, that you would give them strength. You would give them grace, and you would give them hope that comes from you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you so much. Thank you for being here today.